Hey, Trojan fans, welcome to the Armchair Quarterback Podcast, part of the peristylepodcast.com. We started this a few weeks ago where we talked to former USC Trojan quarterbacks. We're going to bring on Shane Foley. You can follow him on Twitter at Shane Foley USC and ShaneFoley.com. What's up, Shane? How you doing, man?
Hey, Ryan. Great to be back. Fired up. Got that win last week in Notre Dame week. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, lots going on, and we, you know, Notre Dame week is a big thing. That's, we want, love to talk to former players about that because there's always some great memories and chilling things of coming out of the tunnel and with the big rivalry and all that stuff. We'll get to that, but we wanted to talk about this game. First, it was Coach Ed Orgeron's very first game as the head coach of the USC Trojans, and wanted to get your initial thoughts on how he did game one.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it, and certainly coming in this situation, first time in USC's history having a coach take over midseason, and Coach Orgeron was the right guy at the right time. You know, Pat could have gone a couple of different ways, but bringing Ed Orgeron and really promoting him as the head guy was really the right guy at the right time. He understands USC. He understands the culture, the energy, the passion. I think he did everything the right way, distanced himself really, I think, politely and respectfully from the previous regime. And now I think he's making this his own team. And he's got buy-in clearly across the board. We saw it. We saw the energy. We saw the enthusiasm. You know, I sit in Section 22 right above the team. And just seeing him talk to the players, seeing him firing it up, you know, talking to his guys coming off the field, not really overly done. You know, he definitely was focused and it wasn't overly sold, but just really sincere interest in his guys and pumping them up and really being plugged in. And I think that really showed itself on the field and afterward with players talking about the differences and how they felt about him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very popular guy. This is kind of strange for me. You've been through coaching changes and stuff when you're tenure, and you've seen other ones come and go, you know, with the Ted Tolner and all that stuff. But
sure,
the more that Ed Orgeron changes things and the more popular he is with the players, no one's saying a bad word about Lane Kiffin, but the longer this goes on where he seems to be changing just about everything and it seems to be working, is that kind of like an insult, like an offhand insult at what Lane Kiffin was doing? Or how do you see that all, how that comes out?
Well, I think it's a good question, but I think you have to go with what works. And we know clearly losing four of the last seven games, the issues coming down the stretch, going, you know, finishing 7-6, the bowl game, we know it didn't work, and everybody knew it didn't work. And so there was a lot of passion around that with the team not really playing like Trojans. And that was lost last year, and then having some of the issues, Washington State at home, and even in the wins, really being uninspiring. So I think we saw that it wasn't working. And with Coach O coming in, bringing in the passion, you know, one team, one heartbeat, bringing these guys together, you know, really reminding, I think, the Trojan family of what it means to be a Trojan. So I think really him rallying the team and knowing what he needs to do to get this thing back on track, you know, he's called it an 8-game season. We're one into this game. We got a huge game against Notre Dame this week. And so I think that there's a lot that we have to take a look at, you know, what's ahead and not behind. It isn't so much about where we've been, it's where we're going. And so I think it's getting these guys together, rallying the team together, getting these guys fired up, getting them to buy in. We know we're thin. We know we've had some injuries, but there's no excuses. And that's not what we, you know, that's not what we, it's not a crutch, and that's not what we, you know, look to make excuses for. So I think really having the opportunity to get these guys fired up, it really becomes less about what it was and really about where we're going with this nucleus of guys, with the family, with the teams, really buying.
Yeah, you know, I think if you watch the press conference after the game Cody Kessler's say, I think him saying it all was, no offense to, or, you know, no disrespect to the previous coach, but we would run through a wall for Ed Orgeron.
Yeah.
Man, the players just seemed to – they bought in right away, it seems like.
Well, I think that, you know, my take is they always wanted to play for Coach O. I mean, not in the sense of him being a head guy, but the emotion and him really being the heart and soul of this coaching staff and of this football team, I think he inspires that. But I think when you've got a guy in the top – and again, I'm not in the locker room. I don't see what's happening – that to me had really been watered down to some extent. You know, when you're not the head guy, when you're not the first team quarterback, you are kind of taking a back seat. And so I think even if you want to lead and you want to do that, it's not your show to run. And so I think now that he's been empowered by Pat Hayden to be the guy, I think you're really getting to see him, you know, with who he is and really bringing that heart, soul, passion, everything he embodies and brings together. You know, he had a head coaching run, as we know, at Ole Miss. It wasn't overly successful, 10-25 in the tough Southeastern Conference, but I think he learned a lot from it. You've heard him talk about it. And I think, you know, he is the right guy at this time right now. There's no need for us to be talking about, you know, coaching hires and who's going to come in. I think really the focus needs to be on Notre Dame and on this football team right now, one week at a time.
It was funny. Before the show, we started talking about thoughts on the game. And when I was listening to the players talk in the press conference in Orgeron, I mean, everyone was happy. He got a Gatorade bath. It was his first win. There was a lot of positive, you know, vibes on the field and in the locker room or in the media room afterwards. Then I go to uscfootball.com, check out the peristyle, yeah. And there's a lot of people that weren't happy with the defensive performance. We're going to talk about the secondary in a little bit. Without a Morgan Breslin out there who, you know, obviously caused a lot of problems for opposing quarterbacks and can generate a lot of pressure. J.R. Tavai, who's comes in, and we haven't seen him for a while because he's been injured, and I don't know how we didn't – no one really asked about this. I think people were focused on the negative in our regular podcast. We didn't even mention J.R. Tavai's name, which I'm kicking myself over. And you mentioned it beforehand. Man, I mean, that was pretty inspiring performance of what he put on there. One of Ed Orgeron's guys comes in and just really makes plays all day.
Well, I think the big thing about it is a W. You know, we had to have a win. At this time right now, we had to have a win. Looking for our first win in conference, you know, being 0-2 and embarrassed at Arizona State, giving up 62 points, all the things we know, and then having, you know, the coaching transition, having a bye week to kind of help us get over that. But this was monumentally important week. And so to come in and get the win, even if it wasn't pretty, even if we did give up some things late in the game and made it a much closer game than really it should have been, I think clearly, I really think that getting that W and taking away the positives is more important than just focusing on the negatives. I think there are some things we can do. We'll talk a little bit about the defense in a bit. But I think that you do take away, you know, converting, you know, over 46% on third down. You do take a look at protecting the football. We did a very good job of it. The running back, arsenal of running backs that we had, you know, with five guys going over 30 yards. You pulled that stat up earlier in the week week. But anyway, I just think that there's a lot of very good things. Stretching the football. We can get into the offense a little bit, but stretching the football, the play calling, a lot to be really happy about. And clearly, more than anything, we had to have a W. We had to get that first conference win. We had to build on it. I think it was a win that we can build on, and we need to address some of the things that took place in the secondary and 363 yards passing given up that needs to get better quickly. But all in all, the W is what was needed. Again, this is certain players that stepped up. J.R. Tavai had a monster game. Leonard Williams in the middle played really, really well. At the offensive side of the ball, the onslaught of the running backs was something I'm very, very inspired and fired up on.
You mentioned the five players rushing over 30 yards. Cody Kessler was among them. And it was funny that USC provides some stats after the game and some notes. And one of the notes was the last time that happened, and now I might get the date wrong, but Shane, you'll remember. But the last time that happened where five USC Trojans rushed for more than 30 yards in a single game, Shane Foley was one of those rushers.
Man, you had to go deep on that stat, Ryan. I appreciate the love on that, man. But no, it was, just a quick trip down memory lane. We actually were playing out at ASU. Mazio Royster was the tailback. Scott Lockwood was the other running back there. A lot of Trojans will remember those guys. And I had 60 yards rushing that day. And so Mazio Royster and Scott Lockwood both were knocked out with concussions. And so we had some other guys that came in and had some runs that day and contributed. So yeah, we had to go back pretty far. But this year, I think it's exciting to see. Clearly, Trey Madden has been the surprise of the team this year. Early on, it's not a surprise anymore. He's hammering the ball and doing a great job, you know, game in and game out. I know he had a little injury that hopefully he's going to be back and recover from. It was great to see Silas Redd come back in and really take ownership on that last drive, to see him hit the ball up in there and really run with authority. Just the passion. You could just see that it was so just fired up the rest of the team, fired up the sideline, fired up the crowd. And so I think that was really great to see. Justin Davis doing what he does at the speed, running downhill, I think he gives us an added element that we've been missing. So I think seeing him do what he does, Buck Allen coming in there, giving a paying homage to Sam Damn Cunningham, jumping over and breaking tackles, doing what he does, and then Ty Isaacs, you know, really rounding it out as a big, strong back, and seeing him really getting his first substantial action was great to see him respond. So I think having this entourage, if you will, of running backs, I think is going to pay off very, very well as we get down the stretch, and having that depth is something we haven't had in a long time.
I loved seeing Buck Allen out there doing well. And it's sometimes it's frustrating when you cover this team and we go to workouts and watch practice and watch off-season workouts, and we keep saying, Buck Allen looks really good. And then he would never play. And then people are like, you're full of crap. You don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, really? I'm not saying I'm an expert, but to me, it looked like he was pretty good. And then when he finally gets an opportunity, boom. I think the same thing happened with Allen Bradford, where he used to break 80-yard runs in practice all the time. Then they didn't play him. They played him against UCLA or whatever, and he ran for 200 yards. But, it was nice to see Buck Allen come out and break through.
Well, it really was. And I don't know about the past regime and getting in guys' doghouses, guys getting in his doghouse, that kind of thing. But I think that, seeing these guys and having them bust out, I mean, Buck Allen averaged, I think, over 6 yards a carry. Really 2 touchdowns, getting around the edge on the one play and then jumping over and just showing that passion and playing as well as he did. And there's been a lot of talk about Buck Allen, as you've said. So to see these guys all have success, to see them all come and run hard with different styles and really complement each other, not take away from each other, was really, really good to see. It was just fired up. Again, I think Silas coming back in, getting 80 yards and averaging over 4. But really, I think that one of the primary things and primary takeaways from this game, Ryan, that you have to look at as a Trojan fan is really at the end of the game, our backs are to the wall. They had all the momentum, that 2-play touchdown drive there that cut the game to 38-31, and then we're backed up, on that kickoff and, have the ball on our own 5-yard line. That is when a team has to dig in. And we have not been able to do that in the past, at least not consistently. Going back to 2011, I think the second half of the year when we caught fire was the last time that our offensive line really took charge and really was able to run the ball physically. Consistently. I think that was the big thing. Coming in, needing to get first downs, knowing that they're, that we're going to run the football, loading the box, and running it anyway. I mean, that was huge. Some huge blocks. And Silas Red really hitting the ball in there and running with authority like he did, knowing that he was going to be running, knowing that SC was going to be running, was just huge. And some of the blocks that were made on that, certainly the left side of the line, we were running over the left side a lot, and seeing those guys have some success was phenomenal. But one of my favorite things that I saw was a crackback by Aguilar. Came back, and Silas Red got hit pretty good, knocked him backward, and actually Aguilar came off his first block, which was a phenomenal block, and came back and took a guy out. So seeing those guys downfield doing a great job, seeing the offensive line really respond and play with the toughness and the orneriness that I think Coach Summers and Coach Orgeron are looking for from the offensive line was firing the USC faithful up.
That's a good point. I mean, that wasn't sexy to get the ball deep in your own territory and have to try to run the clock out for 4 minutes, but that was effective. And I don't think everyone's going to come away. I mean, I think some of the fans were a little, the bad taste in your mouth was giving up the late scores, but it's a great point where you're saying that, hey, when have you seen this team have the nastiness to say, we're going to take the ball and we're going to run it down your throat and run the clock out, take care of the rest of the game. Certainly not sexy, but I think that's something that's a good attribute to have for a team like that.
Yeah, go back to Notre Dame 2011. That was the last time when we came out and actually ran the football on their night game, just like it's going to be this Saturday. But coming out and seeing our offensive line take control of the line of scrimmage back then, it's been a long time coming since we've really just played with that kind of toughness, just knowing that we're going to, line up mano a mano, go after it, knock those guys back, and make plays. And so I think seeing that, seeing these guys, in a week and a half under Coach O's leadership, and then I'm sure, kind of digging in on this thing. But, I mean, having that toughness and having that desire to get downfield, to make blocks, to win that first battle up front, and that's a lot of football is about winning one-on-one battles. So I think, winning those one-on-one battles, and that's a lot of what football is. And so it's important to, you know, to be able to just the continuity to be able to run it and run it physically. Coach O's talked about it. He's emphasized it. And I think that toughness is going to be what's, especially going on the road in loud environments, we're going to have to continue that. And it was a great, I think, a great thing to build on in this game. I know some people, again, were upset about the about giving up plays and big plays in the fourth quarter, and that's going to have to improve. But this this takeaway from this, you know, is a very good sign on things to build on.
The play calling, I think, seemed to be a little bit different. The first series was interesting where they went no huddle, went three and out real quickly, and then, boom, come back over the top. Nice body control by Nelson Aguilar. What did you see that was different, I guess, with the play calling, or what impressed you?
I just saw some more urgency. You know, I just saw more urgency. And that doesn't mean a hurry up all the time. It doesn't mean Oregon's offense. It doesn't mean, you know, running a hurry up. But I just saw a lot more attention to detail. I saw paying attention to the clock late in the game when we needed to you know, drain the clock and let it run out. I saw a lot of that kind of detail, which was phenomenal. But early in the game, I saw Coach Holton really stretch the field. You saw things that we just have not seen in a long time. And that, you know, again, we've seen a play here or there where we stretched the field against Utah State and they gave him a standing O, even though it was incomplete. This was you know, was huge. Nelson Aguilar did have a couple of drops, but I think by far it was a very, very positive game for him. And I think he's going to do nothing but get better. I think he fought that ball a little bit on the first play, but he made it, you know, came down and we scored a touchdown, really got the game started in the right direction. Trey Madden getting it. When's the last time you saw a back getting down the field in a seam like that and throwing it over the linebackers and then making a cut like Trey Madden did to make it 14-0, made a huge, huge play to go up 14-0 and really get the crowd fired up. So I think you just saw a lot of I just think you saw a very good mix of running the ball, but also stretching and putting the ball in the player's hands that you just have not seen, throwing the ball to the tight end, throwing the ball to the backs. You just had a lot of engagement from more players, and I think that's what you have to take a look at, is, you know, how they got guys involved in the offense. And Randall Telfer, you know, having a couple of catches, Victor Blackwell getting his catches. I think having some of these things with younger guys coming in and some walk-ons in certain situations, having an opportunity to come in and make plays. And that's what these guys are going to have to continue to do, is, you know, getting guys involved in the offense. And, you know, on the play calling side, I think Coach Holton will continue to take what the defense gives him. And I think we're going to stretch the field a lot more, and that's going to open up the running game. We saw that, you know, by stretching the ball, by stretching the field and really getting the ball downfield, we saw opportunities for, you know, for us to really run the ball and pound the football. And so that kind of balance is what's been lacking. Even though we've talked about it being balanced, it really has not been. They have loaded the box, as we've seen in the past. And so to really have true balance and getting the ball downfield, they're going to have to respect that. And that's something that's going to open up the offense going forward.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it seemed like a lot of the Lane Kiffin stuff was offense that was varied, but it was always along the line of scrimmage, or mostly along the line of scrimmage. So you're giving, right, it's kind of tipping off the defense that's what you're going to have to defend. It seemed like there was more intermediate stuff going on. You had to defend not just the line of scrimmage, but you had, you know, out the flats and downfield a little bit and deep, you know, as well. It seemed like that just opened things up for everything else.
Well, I think you had, and I've written about it, I've talked about it, Mark Easley's a tremendous talent. We all know that. We've heard the Pac-12 coaches talking about him, giving him accolades, and he's deserving of those. He's a special player. But I think when you have such a desire to get the ball in one guy's hands with bubble screens, with short passes, you know, close to the line of scrimmage, I think it really takes away, does not add to the football team. And so when you've got a team that's really focused on getting it to one guy and you start, you know, putting all the passes, again, as you said, kind of laterally and close to the line of scrimmage, it ends up hurting your football team. And so I think ultimately when you get the ball to Aguilar, when you get the ball to the tight ends, when you have a running back getting down the field, not just catching it in the flat, I think that gives a defense and a defensive coordinator a lot to think about with the types of design that the Trojans are coming with, is how do they defend? And you got a back like Trey Madden is 230 pounds, and Silas Redd, who ran like a beast, you know, hitting the ball in there and slapping. He doesn't look like he missed a step. It was phenomenal to see. And then, you know, certainly the change up with Buck Allen and with some of the other backs that Justin Davis that are getting carries, I think that gives a defensive coordinator a lot to think about and a lot of trouble. So I'm excited about seeing what Coach Holton calls this game coming up.
The mentioned the secondary before. I know you had some takes on that. With obviously there were some big plays given up late in the half, late in the game. What did you think about what's going on with the USC secondary right now?
Well, it's certainly been a lot talked about, as you alluded to earlier. You know, you got the peristyle that a lot of people have been unhappy. I think that there certainly were some plays that hurt us, and certainly big plays. If you take a look at Clancy Pendergast's style and his scheme, there are going to be a lot of one-on-one situations. I mean, he does put his defense, traditionally, the style of defense that he runs, attacking with one-on-one situations where defensive backs are going to have to make plays. And that's just something that is part of his defense. And so when you take a look at it, those were plays that we're going to have to improve on. I mean, two of them, an out and up or a wheel route where, you know, Sua Cravens was left pretty flat-footed and they ran right by him there. And then the hitch and go earlier in the game where Torrin Harris bit on it badly and you know, one-on-one out there and was exposed on that play. Those are tough, and we're going to have to make some changes and get better defending those plays. But if you take a look at Arizona State, which obviously was a horrible game for us defensively, and we gave up a lot of big plays, Taylor Kelly in that game made some big throws, you know, to the outside shoulder, on the backside shoulder, which is tough to defend, and their receivers did a good job. But the two big plays that you take away from Arizona State were blown coverages. So you had missed assignments in that game where guys were wide open, running uncontested, not because they got burned, but because SC had really been in the wrong defense and had guys, you know, two guys covering one guy. And those were different than what we saw against Arizona. Arizona was, what, averaging 112 yards passing coming into this game. They finished with 363. This guy's got a career day. Looks like, you know, looks like an All-American against our defense. You know, a lot of credit has to be given to the running back. I mean, Casey's a phenomenal running back. He's going to be playing in the NFL. Very, very good. And we respected that, and I think we did a pretty good job neutralizing him and controlling him. But the defensive secondary in this game, I know they're doing a lot of work. They're talking about Anthony Brown being ready to go, you know, possibly in this game. I think from a personnel standpoint, I would play Josh Shaw at corner. I'd put him out there at corner and have him out there. I think he's physical. He's a specimen. And I think he can line up and match up against big physical receivers that we're seeing against Arizona and also against Arizona State, where we just got out physical. So I'd have Josh Shaw out there. You know, Kevon Seymour is still, I think, maturing, and I think he's going to be a very good corner. I think he needs to grow in that quickly. Deion Bailey, you know, got beat on a play where he took a gamble that did not pay off, and we're going to have to play a little bit more conservatively out there, especially in one-on-one situations. But I think those are really, I think, some differences that you saw between Arizona State and Arizona. Both bad, you know, both areas that we need to improve on. But clearly we need to, you know, again, unless we're going to a zone, it's going to be a situation where these guys are going to have to, you know, there's an old saying, live by the blitz, die by the blitz. You know, and if we're bringing guys up and pressuring and playing guys in one-on-one situation, we better be doing a lot of work in 7-on-7 and one-on-ones with these guys being able to defend.
We had a question wrote in from a retired Sergeant Jesse Rodriguez. He says, is the lack of depth on the defensive secondary leading to the second half lack of quality play? And do you think it's something that Coach Pendergast can do to help mask the defense or pull the safeties back? It seems like we're constantly getting beat down the middle. Thanks from the Northwest and fight on. That's from Jesse Rodriguez.
Yeah, well, Jesse, I think you bring up some important questions, but I think a big part of it is, you know, again, it's the type of defense we're running. These guys shouldn't be any more tired than the receivers are. I mean, obviously, if you've got depth and you've got receivers running in and out, but these were the same receivers that were catching passes all night. So I don't think it's necessarily a lack of depth. You know, we have had issues with injuries at corner, as we know, with Shelton and with Anthony Brown. But I think that we have to get these guys playing at a level. We have some youth. I mean, when you take a look at Sua Cravens, everybody knows that he has got a great opportunity to be the next great safety at USC. He's a true freshman. He needs to, he needs to step up and play what he's capable of doing and capable of playing. And I think that, again, Josh Shaw, Deion Bailey, these guys have been in the program. They've been around. They need to make the plays. They are capable. I think they're, you know, they have the ability to do it. I'm not sure what's happening with Demetrius Wright. You know, he had made an impact a couple of games ago and had made, you know, made some big plays, has not been as involved in the defense from the secondary standpoint the last couple of games. But there are some questions with some guys, and they're going to need to keep guys in front of them. You know, that's, you can't get beat deep. That's the old saying for a defensive back. You cannot give up big plays and get beat deep. It's a game changer, and it can kill you. So yeah. We're going to need to get better at it quickly.
Rafa wrote in. We got a couple of quick ones for you, and then we'll let you go, Shane. Rafa wrote in, sure. Thursday night, the fans, the excitement, we're back in the stadium. Do you think that Coach O can keep this energy going for the rest of the year? He seems to have the buy-in of both the fans and, most importantly, the team.
I absolutely do. I absolutely do. I don't think this is a fad or something that it's authentic with Coach O. And I think the players know that this isn't for show. This is who he is. And so I think the energy and the passion and the heart and what he brings, you know, one team and just the unity that he has, I think it's going to really continue for the rest of the season. This is a huge game against Notre Dame, playing against your rival in this situation. It's going to be loud back there. For anybody that's been back there, I mean, it's an intimate stadium, and it's going to be, you know, these guys are going to be fired up. And so we're going to need to match that. That was one of the issues, Ryan, that I'll touch on, is last year, several times down the stretch, UCLA, namely, several other games, clearly the bowl game, where we didn't have the energy that really matched what the other team did. So it almost looked like we would come out listless, uninspired, not fired up, and clearly in certain situations not ready to play the football game. And so I think that's going to be much different. You're going to have guys that have already bought in. You had the quote that Cody Kessler said earlier, run through a wall for the coach, go to war wherever it is, you know, for that coach. So I don't think this is something that's going to be fleeting. And Coach O understands the culture. He's been at USC for 11 years. You know, not consecutively, but he's been in the program. He understands what it means to be a Trojan. He understands the Trojan family. And I think he's going to have buy-in from the team and also from future Trojans that are watching USC play as well.
And one last thing before he let you go. I know the USC didn't have a great run against Notre Dame when you were in school,
right.
Which was when I was in school as well.
Right.
We were both there about
yep.
the same time. But what do you think about going into this this big game here for Coach Orgeron? The second game as the head coach, and you get to play Notre Dame.
You know, I think he's going to be so fired up. I think, again, I talked about it a little bit earlier. I think that he's going to he's a head coach now. And so I think he needs to – and he is, you know, being a head coach. He's spending time with the offense, the defense, the special teams. This has a special meaning. You know, USC and Notre Dame – the respect, I think the mutual respect that both teams have for each other, the national championships, the Heismans, everything that both schools represent, it's a very, very old rivalry and the oldest intersectional rivalry in the country. So I think any player that comes to USC can understand and appreciate that this game. And so I think going out to it, I think Coach O is going to bring everything that he believes in, which is, you know, the heart and soul of USC and getting fired up and playing your rival. But I also think he's going to, you know, work on these guys, making some of the adjustments and making the improvements week over week and controlling, you know, again, what we can do, which is getting better on the defensive side of the ball, continuing to move the ball around on the offensive side of the ball, protecting the football, making good decisions by Kessler, managing the game, being a field general out there. He made great strides as a quarterback, I think, in this last game against Arizona. So I think there's a lot to build on. And I think emotionally, I think he's going to have these guys prepped and ready to play going into, you know, into Notre Dame and Touchdown Jesus and everything that's there. It's one of a kind. And so I think, you know, he's going to be ready for it. It's the second game in the 8-game season that he's talking about. I think there's a ton of opportunity for us to go out and to really play these guys and play a great game and get a win. And I'm excited about it. And it should be a lot of fun. So I'm fired up, and I know you are too, Ryan, and ready to get out there. I'm going to be out there Thursday to Sunday, and wish I could suit up.
All right. We'll see. We'll see how Cody Kessler plays. Maybe they want you to suit up too, but I don't know.
No, Kessler will be just fine. But no, it's great. All Trojans get back there. I know you guys are going to be fired up, and certainly looking forward to seeing the game on Saturday night. And it'll be a special game for us.
All right. Well, great stuff, Shane. Thanks so much. At Shane Foley USC on Twitter, or you can go to ShaneFoley.com to check him out and check out the Foley Report. Great stuff, though. Thanks so much for taking some time.
Hey, Ryan, thanks again for having me, and look forward to talking again soon.
Sounds good. All right, everyone else, thank you so much for tuning in to the Armchair Quarterback Podcast. Back again next week with a regular show. Enjoy the USC weekend at Notre Dame.